Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
This is Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio and all podcasting platforms, or wherever you listen to your podcast, there we are. Hey, this is Max Tucci, your host. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We're doing the best of shows. I am in Aspen, Colorado, kicking it here. Been having a great time in Colorado. You know what? I'm getting alpaca. Have you ever had alpaca? Have you ever had alpaca? Do you know anything about alpacas? If you do, tweet me at Max Tucci, Instagram me at Max Tucci, and let me know. I was at this alpaca festival in Colorado. Fell in love, and now I'm like obsessed and getting 3 alpaca. So look at my at Max Tucci Instagram page, and you'll see the 3 little guys that I'm looking at right now. So anyway, tonight we're doing the best of shows. It's going to be a great show because it's one of my favorite. Sister, you've been on my mind. Remember Miss Shug Avery, Margaret Shug Avery on Max and Friends from The Color Purple. You sure is ugly. Well, we're doing the best of shows with Margaret tonight because that's the show I want to give you. I'm taking the night off, but I had to give you an intro, so I'm live right now. In Aspen, kicking it, having a good time. I love you for tuning in. This year, 14 years on Max and Friends. Hey, get ready for the pre-order of my cookbook, The Delmonico Way. I'll let you know more about that then, but you got to let me know that you want it, so DM me. Follow at The Delmonico Way on Instagram. Let's stay in touch. And right now on Max and Friends, Margaret Shug Avery from The Color Purple. Stay tuned.
Max and Friends, he says what he wants. Nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is to say. LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends. Tonight, we're live here in the LA Talk Radio studios. We're having a great time. We're just getting ready for a good time tonight on Max and Friends. And if it's your first time joining us after the 10 years almost that I've been here, welcome to the show. And if it's, tuning in for however many years you tune in, I'm grateful for tuning in. You know, without you, there is no this show. Because my listeners are my, they're my bloodline in this Max and Friends. So we're celebrating 10 years this May. I have to let you know that I want you to tweet me at Max Tucci and let me know what's going on in your life. Because I want to know. You know, we've been through this all together for a long time. So do let me know what's going on in your life. And email me, max@maxtucci.com. Send me your love. Send me whatever you want to send me. If I respond, I respond. If I don't, I don't. But I still love you anyway. Tonight, we have a great guest joining us on Max and Friends in just a moment. Oh, the list of movies goes on. The career, the many years of being in Hollywood is such a lengthy list of being honored for so many things. And, of course, for being one of the most beautiful women that we've seen in the movie The Color Purple. You all know who this is joining me tonight because we've been tweeting about it for quite some time. Margaret Avery is joining us in just a moment. You all know her from the movie The Color Purple. That was the grand role that you all remember. This might bring you back to this might jolt your memory, let's say. So let's just hit this real quick.
I can't move. I need to see her eyes. I feel like once I see her eyes, then my feet can let go of the spot they're stuck in.
You sure is ugly.
Well, you sure is ugly. That is one of the quotes that I have heard so many times over and over again because it is one of the most memorable quotes from the movie The Color Purple. You all have seen the movie because it's 1985. You remember Desrita Jackson was here not too long ago, and soon Whoopi Goldberg is going to be joining us here on Max and Friends. But tonight we have Margaret Avery joining us tonight. Shug Avery, y'all remember from the show. Shug is sitting across from me right now in the LA Talk Radio studios. But before we get into our conversation, we're going to throw you some music right now to get you in the mood. So maybe tonight you need to just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, because right now we're going to push the button on Max and Friends. Stay tuned and we'll be right back with Margaret Avery on Max and Friends.
Performing Push the Button is Jennifer Hudson and the cast of The Color Purple.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to fill your glasses up and sit your asses down. Because tonight, in Harpo's Juke Joint, Harpo's, we bring you the finest in Southern nobility. The Queen, Honey Bee. She was born right here, made it big in Memphis.
Begin a flow.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Jennifer Hudson, Push the Button, from the Broadway version of The Color Purple. Y'all remember Reed Jackson was here too from The Color Purple Broadway show. So tonight, even though it's not a Color Purple reunion, it is just the beautiful synchronicity and the vibration of The Color Purple here tonight. Because sometimes, you know, when you're walking through a field and you don't notice The Color Purple, you think it pisses God off. Well, I don't know. But what I do know is that Jen Avery is joining us here tonight on Max and Friends. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful being here. I just wonder if people know Margaret Avery, because everybody calls me Shug. And I respond. At first, when people were calling me Shug, I thought, oh, please. You know, that was the movie. But now I feel here it is 40 years later almost. I am so blessed that they even remember. So if you call me Shug or Margaret or whatever, I will respond.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've been tweeting about this now for about a week and a half that you were coming on the show.
Oh.
And everybody's so excited to know that you're here tonight and to be on the show and really to be part of Max and Friends. And they said, ask her if her real name is Shug Avery or Avery, because we see her Instagram. It's Margaret Shug Avery.
Oh.
So people...
But that came about because Alice Walker's book, Pulitzer Prize winning book, The Color Purple, the character was Shug Avery, and my name is Margaret Avery. And so when I did Instagram, I thought, well, nobody's going to know Margaret Avery. Maybe I better say Margaret Shug Avery, and then they'll know that's me.
And that's you.
So I just did my plug, you guys, for IG, you know.
There you go. There you go. I love for IG.
Margaret.
But, you know, so Avery was part of the book.
Absolutely.
It was like... just destined then, wasn't it?
Absolutely. That's what all the cast members were saying, is that it was just kind of like a spiritual thing, because Harpo, that character, is Oprah backwards, you know, and now she has her production company,
Harpo.
It was called Harpo Productions.
Right.
And it was everyone's first. It was my first A film, as I call it, because I came from blaxploitation films and TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was our director, Steven Spielberg's first dramatic film, other than, I think he did Jaws prior to that. But to have a real serious, that was his first. And it was Oprah's very first film. I think Danny was the only seasoned film actor.
And Whoopi's too.
Whoopi, yeah.
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 And there's Rita Jackson too.
Yeah, everybody. We were all trying to do our personal best. That's, you know, and Alice Walker was on the set. And of course, she wasn't there every day, but it seemed like she was there every day that I was shooting. I thought, oh, Lord, please let her like my work. Oh, please.
And, of course, it was nominated, your work.
Yes, yes. So. Well, I think we got 11 nominations. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it caused a lot of controversy, the film.
Mm-hmm.
Steven, at that time, was not the golden boy that he is now.
Right.
And he got a backlash by not being nominated at all by his director's guild. So that was, we can talk all night about that.
But then we fast forward today to Black Panther hitting $1 billion mark.
Oh, my God.
Right?
My God.
How movies have come along such a long way, right?
Because Steven, the reason we got Color Purple done was because he was the only one with the power in Hollywood who could give a green light on it.
And that's
how
that works.
So that's
right?
A big deal.
So now let's go back to the day. Let's go to the genesis of Margaret Avery. Back to Oklahoma.
Ooh, that's a long time. I don't even know anything about Oklahoma anymore, other than my mother grew up. She was the oldest of 13. And she was growing up during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And she was helping my grandfather chop cotton in the snow to feed the family. And so that's about the only thing I know about it. But I got my spunk from her because she was the one who fought. She would beat up other boys, protecting her brother. So that's, people say that I'm classy and I'm quiet and all of that. Honey, I know how to protect myself.
You sure do. And you know how to kick, too, because we see on Instagram doing...
Oh,
I love your Instagram, I have to tell you.
Oh, thank you so much.
You have such a vivacious, life with your Instagram. You do it well.
Thank you. Tomorrow is supposed to be Motivation Monday. I'm supposed to be out there doing some kind of exercise, but my husband, he's the one who's supposed to be videotaping me. Sometimes he's missing my head or my feet or something. I said, babes. And so I've got to figure out how I can get somebody professional. He's sitting right here, y'all. So I can't say too much bad about him. He does his best. But I got to find somebody who can help me get my legs and my head in.
The whole picture. But, you know, you get that kick so quick that I could see how he could miss it. But, you know, you really have also such a sense of style. And we see it recently, you know, especially on your Instagram. You are not scared of wearing beautiful, bold colors.
Oh, well, listen, I got that from my stylist, Lola Wusu, a Nigerian stylist. She grew up in the Bay Area where I went to college. And she says, now, Miss Avery, you've got to wear this. I said, oh, I don't know, Lola, this. And wouldn't you know, when I would wear it somewhere, people would compliment me, and I'm saying, dang, that Lola did it again.
But you pulled it off, though. Lola knows what to put you in, and you pull it off. So you do have a great stylist, and you wear it well.
Thank you.
But so, back to, how many siblings do you have?
I'm an only child.
An only child.
That's why I had to learn how to fight.
I can imagine
so. To protect myself. I grew up in the ghetto of San Diego. It was a very, very Navy town back in the 40s, you know, and I lived in a Navy housing ghetto, and everybody there had sisters and brothers to protect them, and bullying was the style.
Right.
Talk about bullying now. Bullying was the style, and I was this little skinny, puny thing, and they thought they could, like, bully me, but I would stand up. I would be looking up at them, cursing them. Yeah, and I think they said, this is crazy, and we're going to leave her alone.
You took care of yourself, right? So that was San Francisco.
Oh, I love San Francisco. I would have chosen to remain there had the film industry been there.
When did you come to Hollywood?
When did I come? Well, I had taught. My credentials was I'd gone to San Francisco State University, and I taught in the Bay Area for 3 years.
What did you teach?
First and second grade.
Oh, the best years.
Oh, they're so cute. And the thing about first grade is because they come in, and by the end of the year, you can totally attribute it to their learning. And their little personalities are right there, honey. I could see who the little female manipulators were going to be, and the ones who were like mischievous, the boys who were always going to be the little, watch it. He might steal something from you. I mean, Freud had it right. Your personality is formed by 5 years old.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
By the time you're five, so all of you out there listening, you got little ones, watch it, because by five, it's already formed.
It's already formed. Yeah, you have to be gentle with children, right? Mm-hmm. And kind.
And they absorb everything.
Everything.
They absorb everything. I learned that from my daughter. She was like in a car seat. That's when you could have your children right in the front,
right?
Not in the back seat. And we went downtown one day, and Tijuana.
San Diego, yeah.
Went to Tijuana a lot. And she's sitting in the car seat, can barely talk, but she had this arrogant attitude. Are we in Tijuana? And I said, no, we were downtown L.A. And that's when she taught me a lesson. I said, why do you say that? And with her nose up in the air, she looked so ugly to me. And she says, because it's so dirty.
Ooh.
I said, oh, my God. That told me that when you make comments
about
another city or a group or whatever, they are listening, and prejudices are learned.
Right, right.
They are learned.
So what did you tell her?
So I said, no, we're downtown Los Angeles, and they don't clean up as much. You know.
Now, let me ask you, you know, I can imagine your first and second years. Have you the world of fame?
I remember I was in Oakland for an event, and, you know, you go, when you first get into the business, you're conscious of your age, you're supposed to, you know, and I did play 10 years younger than I was, you know, even now, it's at 75, people don't believe I'm that old, but...
it's a number. I've seen your high kick.
Yeah. But I'm in the hotel, and someone calls me, and she says, Miss Avery. And I said, yes. And I'm wondering, who is this calling? I'm so tired. Will they leave me alone? I can only rest for 30 minutes. She says, I'm Gordy's wife, and I just want you to know that he just wanted you to know that he loves you. And I said, And I remember Gordy. He was so bright. Mm-hmm. And this little kid, I corrected him one day about his grammar. And he says, he thought about it a moment. And he says, now you got to remember, just imagine a little first grader.
Right.
He says, well, you know, Miss Avery, the English language is one of the most difficult languages to learn.
You had some bright students.
So, but anyway, I thought, well, I found out he was in construction and doing this and that. And I said, okay, it's no lying about my age when the kids are working and telling me what they're doing.
Isn't that fantastic, though?
And now you can't lie about your age because they show it right there on TV.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
On Wikipedia, too.
Oh, my. And what gets me really upset is when they get the year wrong sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's always older, not younger.
Well, what is it that brings you joy? We'll move on from getting over upset. Okay. What brings you joy in this now in life where you are now? When we go through so many things, right now where you are in this space of time, what brings you the most joy?
I think the most joy is that I didn't quit. Mm. I never gave up because when I started in the business, there were no people of color in it practically. Mm. I think Cicely Tyson, I saw her on a show called Naked City or something. Mm. That was back in the early 60s or late 50s. Mm. But what propelled me to come to Los Angeles was because Sidney Poitier had gotten an Oscar for Lilies of the Field. Mm-hmm. And Diane Carroll had a series called Julia. Mm-hmm. And I said, there's got to be a time that people of color are going to be able to be in television. Mm-hmm. And so I came down here with just a hope that it would open up one day. And I started studying. I'm telling people, show business, thinking that's the only thing you're going to be doing, because it was my teaching credential that saved me. I have a live teaching credential, so I was able to support myself
right.
while still studying acting and dance and voice and all of that kind of stuff. And so one day I did get a call after investing in a recording machine.
Okay.
And at that time, there were these huge boxes. It cost me 1 month's teaching salary, $400.
What was the first message on it?
The first message was an agency calling me and saying that they would represent me.
Really?
And that's why I got out of faith that one day I'm going to need to get my messages. Because at that time, human people were taking the messages, and you call in and say, are there any messages? And they were supposed to have picked it up on a certain beat, ring.
Right.
And so I called in, curious, just really checking up on them. Are there any messages for me, Margaret Avery? And they said, oh, no, Miss Avery, there were no messages. And I said, one of these days I'm going to need to get my message.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm telling everyone out there, don't give up. Sometimes you don't know how you're going to get to something, but if you start reaching for it and trying to prepare for it and asking questions, doing whatever you have to do, the answers will start to come.
In the whisper, right?
Whatever.
Or the loud.
Sometimes it knocks you on the feet, you know.
It sure did. Now, I want to go back to 1972.
Ooh, that's before my
daughter
was
Breeze.
Born. Oh, Cool Breeze. Oh, my God. What was I remember the title. I'm just trying to figure out who was starring. Okay,
Margaret Avery.
Cool Breeze, and that was, if Pam Grier was in it, she was a star.
Mm-hmm.
She was our big star at that time.
Yeah.
Which I was hoping that Taraji would be in Proud Mary.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because we haven't had that kick-ass. Mm-hmm. Oh, can I say
you
that
can really? Say whatever you want. This is okay. LA Talk Radio.
We haven't had a woman with that ballsiness, you know, since Pam Grier, really.
Yeah. It is Taraji, isn't it?
Yeah. And so in Proud Mary, I was so disappointed that the studios didn't push that movie because she was so good in that.
Mm.
But she was our female hero for today, you know.
She was.
I thought.
Yeah, we're going down memory lane, right?
Oh,
it's like,
okay.
Margaret Avery, this is your life.
Yeah.
You know, and then we could even fast forward, to 1995, White Man's Burden.
Oh, now about that film, is that Harry Belafonte, I got to meet him and work with him and thank him for being an inspiration to me for getting into film, because the first time I saw black images that I could really identify with was he and Dorothy Dandridge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dorothy Dandridge was thin.
Right.
And up until that time, I'd only seen hefty, big bosom women, you know, maids. And so I grew up thinking, oh, I'm not fat enough to be an actress.
Really?
Because I never saw my
image.
Well,
you saw what you saw, yeah.
So when I saw he and Dorothy Dandridge in Island in the Sun, and there was another one they did, I said, hey, maybe I could be an actress.
You can be, and you were. You consciously created a lot of your life, haven't you?
You know, you don't know
what you say, because it goes out there, right?
Sometimes we pray for something that we think we want, and you get it, and you think, oh, God. But that's in relationships, I think.
Right. Yeah, I think so. But you know what's so fascinating is people who are tuning in tonight, I thank you all for tuning in. You are listening to Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. My guest tonight is Margaret Avery. Y'all can call her Sug Avery, like she said, at the top of the show. But what do you tell people now in this industry who are just starting it, who might not have the faith or the hopes or the passion that you now have as as an actress? What do you say to inspire them?
First of all, unless you have the passion for it, don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. It's just too much. It's hard. Everything is so competitive. It's always been competitive. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things, ways of developing yourself and getting the market is so much important. As I was telling you earlier, that I have to learn.
YouTube.
You know, even, is it Issa Rae? The way she developed on, was it YouTube that she developed a little series, and now she's on HBO?
Yeah, it works.
So, but still, it's your passion that drives you. Whatever you do, you're going to have to work hard.
Yeah.
But you want to go home tired with joy.
Oh, I love that.
And not tired from weariness and, dang, I got to go back there tomorrow. And and you've seen people who are at their jobs and they're cranky and they're nasty and because they're not happy.
Right.
So you've got to...
What brings you happiness now?
My beau, he's sitting over here. He's so sweet.
Isn't that fantastic?
He really is, but he was the third time around.
Okay. Third time is the right time, right?
So it was right for us. It's been, how many years, babe? 20 years?
Wow, 20 years.
20 years.
So what do you tell people who can't get past the 1 year?
They've got to check themselves out because they may be attracting something that's not healthy for them, and that's what I found. When I went back to school to work on my master's in psychology, I learned, and it was really just for personal growth. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that I would ever do anything with it, which I did later, but I learned what it meant, how it affected me to grow up in an alcoholic home.
Okay.
And what I did as a child to protect myself from things that went down in the home, I brought those same behaviors into my adult life, which do not work.
Patterns and pathology.
And absolutely. And I was attracting what I grew up with, which was not for my highest good as a woman. And I didn't find that out until after the second relationship. Mm. And I think that's, if you don't start checking out yourself, questioning, what am I doing? That's because in every relationship, it's a two-way street. Most of the time, nobody's forcing you to be attracted to that person. It's something about you. So I think that check out yourself if you're making the same mistake. Because my second relationship was maybe 15 years later.
Wow.
I'd been a single mom for a long time. Just concentrated on raising my daughter and working in the business. Mm-hmm. And doing all of that alone in L.A. is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have family to help support me with babysitting and all of that. So I just say that 20 years apart, almost maybe 15 years apart between my first relationship and second committed relationship, they were the same men. different ethnicity, but the same type person. And if I had met my beau, current beau, at that time, I probably would not have been attracted to him.
You weren't ready to receive him.
Right.
Right.
I wasn't healthy enough to be attracted to him. And from what I hear, we share our past. I don't think he would have been attracted to me either. Oh, baby. He's quiet, y'all.
I promised I wouldn't ask him any questions. So you're good over there.
But I love him because he sees me without the lashes, without the wigs, and without, I mean.
The real you.
When somebody loves you regardless.
Yeah.
You know?
That's pure love.
You know?
Right? How does it feel to be loved?
I think it's something we all need. That's, I mean that's what Kali's character, feeling the love from another human being. It happened to be a what would you call it, a gay relationship, which we didn't get to that much
people
in the film.
People don't even know about that either.
Because they didn't read the book.
Right.
And I understand that the gay community was angry with Steven for not revealing that relationship more. But at the time, you're talking about almost
1985.
Almost 40 years ago.
Right, I mean, when gay was the one who brought in AIDS.
Nobody
and all of
was
that.
Coming out, you know.
Right.
I mean, everybody was closet. So
it was a mean time. Yeah.
And so, and I think the AIDS was still prevalent and all that. But but my point is that Steven Spielberg wanted the film not to land up in just artsy theater.
Right.
He wanted it to be a universal film that people could relate to. It's happened. That's when Ripon pushed the film, helped market it. I mean, women from all over the world coming out with tears in their eyes. And I'm talking about some of them were wealthy with jewelry that I'll never see as an owner. But because if you think about the European culture, a lot of families there, they say, okay, once you get married, hey, don't be coming back to the household crying. That's your husband.
That's right.
And you have to endure whatever it is. As a matter of fact, when we were in Paris, I was talking to some of the PR people at that time, and they said that in Paris, now I don't know how it is now, but at that time, 35 years ago, they didn't even list on your telephone bill all the phone calls. You can check your phone calls here on your phone. Why did they not?
Oh, because those are numbers that you call to play with.
Yes, because they didn't want the women, the wives, to know who their husbands
were
calling.
Italy is very much like that, too. I grew up in Italy, and, you know, the men had the wife, and then they had the mistress, too, and it was okay. That was the lifestyle.
And the wife was saying, okay, as long as my fur or my jewelry is better than theirs.
That's right.
That's okay with me, baby. I'm the one.
Right. How times have changed, or have they?
And then when I was in Venezuela, they were saying that we laugh at you Americans. At that time, we were talking about Bill Clinton, the President Bill Clinton, given that respect, had that Monica
Lewinsky
thing.
That's right.
And they said, oh, we laugh at you Americans over all that silly stuff.
Because it's been happening there for how long?
Oh, yeah. I wonder if they're laughing at Trump now.
Right? Well, a lot of people are. But let's go back to 1985.
Okay. All right.
Let's stay on The Color Purple out there, because people are tweeting us, and they're like, they're loving our conversation right now. So we'll stay there for a minute. Now, a lot of misconceptions that your voice was actually the voice of the
That's because people do
sister.
Not read the credits, and that's why I was so happy to see, when I went to see Black Panther, the audience sat there and waited and read every credit that they could. And people don't usually do that. To this day, people still think that I sang in Color Purple,
and it was Tata Vega.
From the Andre Crouch Choir, a little 5-foot bombshell from Puerto Rico, and I think she's touring now with a group.
That's wonderful.
Over Europe.
You know, I just saw the movie The Greatest Showman, and I sat to the end of credit.
Thank you.
It was unbelievable to see the amount of people. It said that it took over like 15,000. It gave 15,000 jobs, that movie.
Well, in Black Panther, different countries. Mm-hmm. I mean, there must have been five or six different countries that they gave.
You know what I love
to
wait for at the end of the credits, where it's where they shot the film, the location.
Oh.
Thank you to the city of New York.
Right, it always
fascinates me to see where they did it. And I think The Greatest Showman was done in Brooklyn. I found that out at the end of the credits. But stay, you know, I think they should do more little bloopers at the end of credits to make people stay to watch them all. Right, bloopers at the end of the credits. But so The Color Purple, and I heard that Tina Turner was up for that role.
That's what I heard. I mean, I never heard it from her lips,
right.
but I did hear that she was. And had it not been the power of the director, she would have had it, because Quincy Jones favored her. And, you know, and I could understand that as a producer, and he's mainly into music, and there's no comparison between her voice and mine. So if I were in his position, that's who I would have favored also. And doggone it, she is one of my idols. I mean, Lord have mercy. And I love the way she spreads her arms out like that little wee. I'm saying, go ahead, sister, go ahead.
Right? But now, even though it was Tata Vega's voice that was in the movie, it was your acting that really drew people in. You know, and when you show up that night, that rainy night, and Whoopi standing at the door.
But that, you know, but talk about like what we just said about all the credits. The person that you see on screen, it looks like they're the ones doing it, but there's all these other people too.
Right,
you know,
of course.
The music and Tata Vega's voice.
The lighting.
The lighting and so many things. We shot that scene, God's Trying to Tell You Something. We went through that all day because we had to have so much of the timing together. It's raining, and we didn't really get it just
right. Was it really raining?
Well, they had fake rain.
Right.
However, the lighting had to match. When we went to do it again, we had to wait until the sky got that same way, or you would have been able to see the difference. So it's a lot going to it. They did say that in one of the shots, the long shots, you could see a crane. But I've been looking for it. I never see it.
If you all find the crane, will you please tweet or Instagram Margaret Avery the crane and circle it?
I've been looking and looking for it. So, but
what are some bloopers from the film? Speaking about the crane, what are some bloopers that you remember that you can tell us?
Bloopers. I would say I remember doing the scene where we discover the letters.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, Stephen had to remind me that I was in a different voice level or something. It's like when you start shooting different shots.
The tone changes.
The tone can change, and so you've got to match. I remember Squeak. What is Squeak's name? Please,
we'll
out
up.
There. But anyway, no disrespect. Please, senior moment here. She played Squeak, and when she was away for a couple of weeks.
Mary Agnes.
Yeah, that was her character name.
That was her
name.
Character's name. And the actress was...
I bet the fans know.
You know what comes up? Because they're tweeting us now, and they're coming from The Color Purple, the Broadway show.
Oh,
no, we're going back to 1985.
This is a film, people.
Right.
Hey, this is where it all started.
Exactly. You tell them. School them.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we finished, but the actual actress was away for about a month, and then she came back to join us, and Stephen had to remind her, oh, no, you're higher than that. Go higher, higher,
go higher.
Higher. Because it is hard. Even when we do looping, let's say now, looping fans, that's when we finish the film, they've done the editing, and you go into a little room.
Ray Donchong.
And please forgive me, Ray. You know, I'm...
We're going back to 1985. It's late on a Sunday night. We did a time change too.
But anyway, you have to loop the voice. You can see the lips moving, and now you've got to put your voice in because it was a sound problem or something. And so you've got to like go back to, okay, as the actor, I'm thinking, what was I thinking? What was the motivation to get that same moment of emotion and level of my voice so that it doesn't... sound
perfect.
Right.
It's always composing, right?
Right. And there's a lot of people, again, a lot of people involved. That's why those credits get by. And if you, you see the black and white films, the old films mm-hmm. that were done in the, what, 30s and 40s and 50s, you don't see all those credits.
No.
But, honey, those unions got together. And I said, our people need to get the credit.
Even in silent film, there's credits, right? But, you know, let's go back because people are begging me to play the song. So
okay.
I'm going to play it right now. Tata Vega here on Max and Friends.
Yes.
And when we're back, Margaret Avery is going to tell us about some other things that happened on set on The Color Purple. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you ask me and keep it clean.
We will. Because you've been on my mind, sister. One moment. We'll be right back.
The song I'm about to sing is called Miss Celia's Blues. Cause I got my hair daily.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. That was Tata Vega from the movie The Color Purple, acted by the one and only Shug Avery. Margaret Avery was joining us here tonight. I'm so like honored and glad, and just I adore you. You know that film. I remember watching that film for the first time, and I didn't really understand it. You know, I was probably all no more than.
Yeah. And that, let me share this with you and the fans. That song was about the fifth one they had written.
Oh, really?
Oh, there were different versions. And I was before, I think it was the night before we were supposed to shoot it. No, two nights before we were supposed to shoot the film. Quincy Jones, who did the music, delivered that version. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, no, Q, I can't learn it in time, please. He says, no, baby, you got to do it. You got to do it. This is the one. This is the one. This is how you have to work hard. This is, but, you know, this is what we do when we got to do it. You do it when you got to do it.
That's right.
And at that time, he had an aneurysm or something, and they put a plate in his, in his head. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, Q, you gonna give me a plate.
But you did it.
But we did it. And even to that day, the very day that we shot it, the sound people were playing it while everybody was getting ready and the setup. And I was like in the room and I started lip syncing and I was off. And it just, I said, oh, my God. Oh, please, Jesus, please. How could I be off? And I remembered that when I was working on the song for lip syncing, What happened was that I could hear one of the musicians do a little cough just before the take started. Mm-hmm. And I happened to ask the sound guy, I said, is that the only take you have? And he says, oh, no, we have several. I said, please. Oh, I was relieved. I said, find the one where somebody coughs just before. Mm-hmm. And the lesson that I'm sharing with everyone out there is that no singer ever sings the song exactly the same.
Right.
If when you're learning to lip sync, you will find that you've got to lip sync to one version because it's all going to be different. When you have to duplicate every voice, every breath, you've got to.
It's a skill. Mm-hmm. It's a skill one has to learn. But now someone asked, where's the red dress from that movie?
Oh, doggone it. That breaks my heart because I wanted to buy that dress, and Warner Brothers would not let me. And that dress was made. It was made.
Lord,
for you.
God, love that.
And so then I heard that they had an auction. I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, no.
I would have bought it.
So where's the red dress now, America?
Yeah.
We're asking you all, where's the red dress? If you have the red dress...
And you can't, and you're too big to wear it now. Send it to me because now I'm the size that I was that I gained weight for. I gained 30 pounds for the role.
For that film.
Yes.
Really?
So now I have that weight and that dress will fit.
You know, we're getting a question now about the movie The Color Purple. Margaret Avery's joining us tonight, my guest here at Max and Friends. The on screen kiss.
Oh, I was just sharing that at Alfre Woodard's special dinner. Question. Was the question that I drew out of the pot was, tell about your first screen kiss.
Mm.
And so even though Kissing Whoopi was not the first one, but it was the funniest because in the room that the scene was shot, we just happened, while they were setting up the lighting and getting everything set up, Whoopi and I happened to sit on the bed in the exact positions that the scene was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, and I'm talking to actors now or wannabe actors, I stopped thinking about the character and was thinking about Margaret. And I'm thinking, dang, I got to kiss her. It's like I hadn't really thought about it before. And there's like 10 million people in the room, the cameramen and the lighting people. Oh, and I just thought, oh, my God. All right, Margaret, get back in character. Get back in character. Stop. And I opened the room and she looked at me at the same time and she says, no tonguing. And that was exactly what I needed to hear. We both just fell out laughing, and I went back into character as Shug, you know.
As Shug. You know, of all this career that you have, we're going to have to wrap this show up, but I don't want to. I want to stay with you for the rest of the night. But with all your acting and all of your movies and all of the lessons.
We're going to talk about
Lupus. We're going to talk about in a minute.
Okay.
What is, for you, your greatest role that you've done so far?
Well, absolutely, it was Color Purple. Mm. Color Purple. Sister, honey. Yeah.
So let's talk about Lupus because you want to bring that up. I know it's important to you.
Well, when I was doing Being Mary Jane, the BET show starring Gabrielle Union, my character, being her mother, had lupus.
Mm.
And so I did some research on it and found out that lupus is a disease that's... African-American women suffer from it from any more than any other ethnicity. And men of all ethnicities can get it, but it's mostly with women and mostly with African-American women. And we don't hear about it much. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get the support.
Doesn't Toni Braxton suffer from lupus? I don't remember.
I'm
I think
not
so.
Sure, but it comes and goes. It's one of those things that comes and goes, and what it does is that it attacks your system. For some reason, the body doesn't know the difference between good germs and bad germs, and so it attacks you.
Mm-hmm.
And the symptoms vary depending on which organ is being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
So the through line that we found with my character in Being Mary Jane was that people regard the through is fatigue.
Mm.
So when the first two seasons you showed me with, they showed me with the fatigue and wearing a lot of wigs because my hair had fallen out. After when we changed writers, and the original creators was Mara Akil and Salim Akil. When we changed writers, it seemed as though they didn't emphasize the lupus anymore, but I kept wearing all my wigs anyway.
Right.
But
you know, there's a great foundation called the Lupus Foundation of America, where they're devoted to solving the mystery, because it really is a mystery of lupus.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
One of the world's cruelest, most unpredictable, and devastating diseases, while carrying support to those who suffer from its brutal impact.
And the reason it's so mysterious is because it's very difficult to diagnose.
Mm.
But they say that if you can get it diagnosed quickly enough, may not be cured, but you can at least get the medication so that you're not in as much discomfort.
To get yourself started on, on ease.
So that you can still function. Because I used to work with LA Unified School District. Hey, I'm telling you all, people, I've done everything. I've got a psychology license and the educational license and real estate license.
A nomination.
You're not out there all the time as an actor, but I went to visit a coworker, and they said, oh, she's no longer with us. And she passed. And I said, passed? She had lupus. And so it's like, a lot of times you don't even know a person has lupus. They may know it by that time.
Right.
I'm sure she knew it. But like I said, it goes into remission. And it's just a bad disease.
Right.
And I wish that we had more information about it.
I'm glad you're bringing it up here tonight, though, on Max and Friends, because we do, you know, we make a difference. And the way we find out cures for diseases is by talking about them instead of hiding them. So we're going to have to wrap this show up, though. But before we go, you know, there was the wonderful reunion Oprah Winfrey threw for The Color Purple. What was your most memorable experience from that reunion, all being together after that many years?
Just seeing each other, you know, how we've aged and changed and how our careers have taken different roads, you know, and we all have our journeys, and it was just good to get together.
Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to ask you three things before we go. What does love mean to you?
Oh, God, it means so many things. You know, they say in The Color Purple, God thinks it's horrible if you don't look and appreciate the color purple. Can give love, you don't know, you won't appreciate receiving it or recognizing it.
Yeah. What does life mean to you?
Enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy it. We put up too many blocks. You know, if we can, someone used to say, God is great if you, life is great if you let it.
Exactly. I always say life is easy. We make it hard.
We do.
Right. And what does joy mean to you?
Smiling and meaning it. Smiling from the heart.
Margaret Avery, it has been so much fun having you here tonight on Max and Friends.
I had so much fun. My goodness.
You are welcome back anytime. But speaking of welcome back anytime, are you working on anything right now that we can talk about?
You know what? I'm going to be dropping off probably off the mat for a while because I want to go back to my stage career because I was discovered by Clint Eastwood on stage and I did Magnum Force.
I was going to talk about Magnum Force, but we ran out of time.
Yeah, so I want to get back on stage so I can do roles that I don't seem to get the opportunity to do in film.
What is the role you would want on stage?
I want to do some comedy, more comedy. The last comedy I did was working with the great late Richard Pryor, Which Way Is Up. I got stuck in drama, but I love to laugh, and people keep saying I'm funny. So,
what makes you laugh the most?
Me, how crazy I am.
I love that.
Best? But wait a minute. Let me say your favorite line.
Say it, baby.
Are we still on?
We're still on.
Okay. You show is ugly.
You know what? We're going to have to leave it at that. That is one of the best closings of Max and Friends that we've had over these 10 years. Margaret Avery, thank you so much for joining here tonight on Max and Friends.
Ain't I crazy?
You're the best. Crazy is good. You know, they say sometimes when you see crazy walking down the streets across the street, but if it's your type of crazy, I'm going to walk right up to you and say hi.
But no matter, don't forget to laugh at yourselves. It's the best laugh you'll get.
It is the best laugh, right? And before we leave, what is the inspiration you want people to take with them into this week?
Whatever it is that you're passionate about, go for it. Don't give up. You'll get the answer. You don't know how to do it, but the answer will come as long as you're reaching out for it.
Absolutely. And mine, I'm going to leave you all with this tonight. I love you for tuning in. And remember, your life is big. So please keep reaching. Like Margaret Avery said, don't give up. You're here for a purpose. And really, your passion turns into your purpose. So figure out what that is. And until next Sunday, I love you all for tuning in. One more thing Margaret Avery wants to say.
Instagram. Margaret Shug Avery.
Follow her.
And yeah, please. They like to follow old.
And give her love there right now. Go over there right now and love her over there.
And say something. Make a comment and I'll get back to you.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for joining us here tonight on Max and Friends. I'm going to have to say good night and good karma. They've already given me 5 extra minutes. So I thank you all. We're good. There's no union here. This is LA Talk Radio. Okay. And I'm your host, Max Tucci. Good night and good karma. And remember to take life to the max. Until next Sunday, Gordana Biernat will be here next Sunday, so tune in because that's going to be a life class. Good night, y'all. I love you for tuning in.
Ooh, I do too.
But more than anything, God love admiration.
You saying God is vain?
No, not vain. Just wanting to share a good thing. I think it pisses God off if you walk by the color purple in a field and don't notice it.
Well, you saying it just want to be loved, like it say in the Bible?
Yes, sing, dance.